your first point in your top 3 and 13 seems to be about emerging concern with access to government procurement officials. With agency personnel attending fewer events, what can contractors do to try to make themselves known to government?
There's really a couple of different points here to it. It definitely, you know, touches on the access to the officials, but one of the big things I wanted to really bring out here is the fact that one of the benefits of being able to touch, as it were, you know, folks in government is for information exchange. And that information exchange manifests itself in a better understanding of requirements for a lot of companies so that they can support decision making when they're looking at various opportunities, whether it's an actual requirements contract with a definitive start and end, or if it's a contract vehicle like, you know, the upcoming GSA Oasis contract, something like that. All that information is used to make decisions based on a number of different criteria. And because of, you know, several occurrences that have impacted how government participates in industry events, how they participate in conferences, theirs and others, and so forth, a lot of those opportunities have now been lost. And so there are fewer industry days for pretty significant opportunities that have come out and are coming out. And so, generally speaking, there's less communication and less opportunity for industry to gain good information.
But what can the contractors do to kind of make up for their lack of access at this point?
Well, the biggest thing is really just take advantage of the information that is available, which a lot of companies don't do that well. Part of it really is, you know, the old days, you know, as I call it, when I first got into this business, which was before the internet, market research really was based on what you read and who you talked to, very specifically, and it wasn't, you know, punching up a website or a database to be able to do it. You know, with the onset of the web and a lot of information being made available by government and industry organizations, there's a lot of information that you can garner that way, but it still takes the handshake. And if you can't shake the hand of the folks in government, per se, you do the next best thing, and you start becoming more creative about talking to people who, you know, maybe were the last person in the job of your current prospective customer. And whether it's bringing them, you know, on as an advisor or as a consultant or simply, you know, whining and dining them to figure out, you know, how much they can help you get a feel for what's going on in the building, it's really going to become, you know, more, you know, companies are going to be more compelled to become more aggressive in developing robust information. Because, again, I don't see anything changing in the near future relative to how agencies and agency officials participate in some of the events.
That leads well into your second point that deals with a lot of missed opportunities, especially with simplified acquisition procedures. Who's been missing out more at this point, do you think, government or industry?
Well, I think it's really, I really think it's kind of equal. And because, you know, the benefits of this type of acquisition activity is twofold. First of all, you know, in the FAR, it defines it as a streamlined method for acquisitions by the government. It was created in part to alleviate some of the burden associated with doing purchases this way. And so, you know, by calling it simplified, you know, hence the name, it's easier to get these requirements out the door. And so, you know, we've seen the increase in the use of simplified acquisitions, and with that increase, you know, there have been more small businesses getting work as well. But overall, there's less less than 50% of it going to small business, although the FAR indicates that there is a preference for this work to go to small businesses. And that's why I also mentioned that, you know, Joe Jordan and Karen Mills had also issued a memo in really telling agencies to maximize opportunities for small businesses under the simplified acquisition threshold. So the main point is that that I mentioned, you know, previously, you know, out of the $15.5 billion that was awarded in FY11, and the last time I looked, $14.5 billion awarded in FY12, but those numbers are going to still be shaking out as they close out the fiscal year. Only half of it went to small business, actually less than half. So if more or all of the other half had gone to small business, either or both of those years, the likelihood that the government would have met its small business goal is pretty real. So that's one missed opportunity. The other part for the government missing the opportunity is the ability to help mature the small business industrial base to create better, more robust federal contractors that are small and eventually mid-tier and eventually large to answer the call for their needs in the future. And then from the standpoint of industry, you know, we teach courses on this all the time for the last 6 years. And, you know, this is, you know, simplified acquisitions were one of the ways that I broke into government years and years ago, did a lot of this with the Navy and the Air Force, and it was how I got my foot in the door, which is one of the reasons it was created when you kind of read between the lines in the FAR. So there are just a tremendous number of companies and folks that work in these companies that just don't know what it is. Even though some of them have been awarded contracts this way, they don't even realize the significance of it from the standpoint of agencies being able to apply the rule of two, you know, two or more viable small businesses. They can set it aside for small business, but also how the work is put out, typically by a purchase order, which means that it's an RFQ, request for a quotation, versus an RFP, request for a proposal. So it's a lot less work involved in responding to these requirements as well.
What do you think the biggest thing should be done by whether government or industry to try and make it where there are fewer of these missed opportunities?
I think, you know, from the industry standpoint, it's education. It is really going to take companies that understand, you know, what the limits are. I think one of the big hang-ups is companies look at the simplified acquisition threshold. And there are two terms here. The procedures are how it's done, and the threshold determines how much can be spent. But as we know in government contracting, there is always exceptions. And, you know, the Air Force is a great example. They issue contracts for infrastructure services domestically that have values of up to $40 million, and they're awarded to small businesses primarily under simplified acquisition rules. And so I think one of the issues is a lot of companies see the threshold of $150,000, figure it's really not worth their while to do this. But, you know, if you can get a contract award or a task order contract where the government can issue work to you under these procedures for 5 years, you know, you're going to roll right really, you know, past $150,000 probably pretty quickly. And then it's all of a sudden a much more significant piece of work. So I think the education is a tremendous part of it from the small business community to understand, you know, what it means to them and to the government. And from government, I think it's also a standpoint of education as well. There are a lot of folks in government, you know, who we've talked to, conversed with over the years that are, I'll say, some of the newer acquisition folks. And I think because of where their priorities are, at least, you know, coming out of their training, and also because of the bandwidth issues that they're having in government right now and the 1102s, they are, you know, they're overlooked from the government standpoint as well. But although you have a lot of people who want to use small business and use streamlined procedures to get it done, we're missing the mark, you know, a lot of times there. So I think it's really educational on both sides of the ball.
I'm speaking with Guy Timberlake, Chief Visionary Officer for the American Small Business Coalition. Your final point sounds a lot like a circus act, the hoop of death. What exactly is the hoop of death?
Well, I think the hoop of death, you know, in the way I was describing this, has to really do with the gyrations or the levels of activity that companies, especially small businesses, have to go through in order to not just make the team, as it were, to get on a team with a mid-tier or prime contractor, but to stay on the team. And one of the things that we're seeing right now in light of shrinking budgets and contracts being revised or canceled, companies are doing what they have to do to maintain their profit levels, to maintain their revenues, and more importantly, their relevance to the customer. And so the first thing they do is they cut their subcontractors. And again, you know, the majority of small businesses out there, this is where they usually make their bones. They get their start, you know, in the business a lot of times. And so what we're seeing is there's just a lot of companies out there that are just being let go from these contracts. And, you know, you run into a situation of, you know, the level of effort it took to get there in the first place And now it's gone. And one of the big issues, however, is, you know, when you get some of these really, really specialized small businesses who have some domain awareness and so have some domain knowledge and relationships, who bring a very specialized either relationship or capability or something to the table that the company, the prime, could not have won or would have been less likely to have won the opportunity without them, even those companies are being cut, you know, left and right. And so it really comes down to, you know, I think small businesses and even some mid-tiers really need to think about coming together in a way to protect themselves. And, you know, no offense to the very, very big companies out there, but it is what it is. They're going to do what, in most cases, their shareholders are telling them to do or trying to appease them, and that doesn't always work in the best interest of small subcontractors.
Is there a way that small subcontractors can almost use being squeezed out to learn for the future and how to gain bigger contracts within the government on their own?
Well, I think so. I mean, definitely every experience, good and bad, is a learning opportunity. And yeah, when you find yourself on the other side of the door, you know, of an opportunity when you've been, you know, shut out for whatever reason, you know, yeah, there's a learning opportunity there. But I think, again, you know, there's a lot of movement in government right now. There's a lot of chatter, as there usually is, related to let's do more for small business, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the reality is, again, we're facing shrinking budgets and changing, you know, methodologies by the government on how they acquire the goods and services to support their business and mission operations. So what it really comes down to is small companies need to really look at, you know, how they make themselves more viable, and not so much to be subcontractors all the time, but to literally take some of the bigger opportunities down. And we call it creative teaming or creative partnering, finding ways, you know, other than joint ventures, for example, to put a group of companies together, not for the purpose of being a small business consortium, but being a business consortium that will go toe-to-toe with a large company or a group of large companies and take business opportunities down. You know, we don't ever expect that the Air Force would ever try to buy a Joint Strike Fighter type, you know, solution from a small business or a small business consortium per se, but if there was a business consortium that happened to be small businesses that, you know, proved its mettle, you know, six ways to Sunday as far as capability and, you know, as far as financing and delivering and so forth, that could be a compelling argument. And so I think that's what it's really going to take to avoid having to go through the hoops of death, as it were, the spikes in the flaming hoops of trying to get on the teams with these large companies.